Hi Team Value, JJ here, welcome back. Today I'm going to give an update of the Pepri Wagons Fund, mutual fund. There's been some changes, some updates, some new stocks in the portfolio. So let's get into it. Let's have a look. Now this is the documents section of the Pepri Wagons Fund website here, and we can see the semi-annual investor call replay for March 2024. I've just been through that quickly. I may go through that again, and if there's any more information that could be a whole video, I may get back to that. But we have the semi-annual report in December 31st, 2023, which I've already been through in a video, and I'll put a link in the description to that. If you've missed that, if you want to go back to that, it has a list of all the stocks that were owned by the fund at December. I went through that quite in depth. And then we have the investor presentation for Q1 2024, which has some of the changes that have been made in the fund. It has the top 10 holdings, and there are some changes, some new stocks in there. So I'm going to focus on the changes. It just shows the top 10. I'm sure investors in the fund know a lot more, have a lot more information about what stocks are currently in the fund, but I'm not an investor in the fund. I'm stupid enough to try and pick my own stocks, and I'll let you know in about 10 years time whether that's worked out okay. Beating the market or better than Monash Pepri minus fees. And this mutual fund, of course, does have fees, but it's open to retail investors. But I don't think it's open to retail investors outside the US. Correct me if I'm wrong, if anybody is doing that. I haven't really looked into it in depth, but I think that that is the case. Now, this is the Pepri Wagons Fund investor call. It is a public call. I got access to it just by putting my details in their name and email. It does talk in depth about some things. Now, down here, we can see some details about the performance so far. We can see the Pepri Wagons Fund retail, which is for retail investors. Year to date, it's 5.29, and since inception, 13.53. The S&P 500 is 23.48, so trailing the market, the benchmark index S&P 500, but it has only been for a short time, so that kind of means nothing so far about the overall performance of the fund. And from my previous video, this is the table that I had of the stocks owned by the fund up to the December the 31st, 2023. As I said, I've done a video about that. So going back to the Coca-Cola bottler in Turkey being the top one at 10%, and Anadolu from Turkey as well. You can go back and see what that is from my previous video. And a coal position, Consol Energy at 9.2, Alpha Metallurgical Resources. Is another cold at 8.5. TAV, that's airport holding in Turkey, which has airports in other countries as well there in the region. And another coal. So coal featuring strongly in the portfolio there. Arch Resources also. And Microsoft down in the 3. The rest are kind of 3%. And he did say in that call there when somebody asked about owning both Microsoft and Amazon, because Amazon was also owned by the fund there at 3.2%. It was. Somebody was asked whether that's worth holding, and he said that if he found another position that was kind of a better opportunity, he might think about selling those or just assess them as they go along. But I guess he's thinking it as a solid position until he finds perhaps a compounder or a really good value play. The fund does both. And speaking of compounder, we can see right down here at the bottom, Tiny Limited, which I actually am a shareholder of. I've said that publicly before, and I was fascinated to see that he took a position in that. And it sort of goes together with Topicus, again, a serial acquirer. And we have Constellation Software also at 3%. There's sort of groups, different groups that he has, and you could say the serial acquirer of technology is a theme. And also automotive is a theme as well, such as AutoNation. Spirit Airlines, there was a question about that in the call as well, and he said, I'm not sure if it's sold completely, but he said that he swapped to the bonds. It didn't work out. It was an arbitrage kind of play that didn't work out, it seems, but it was only a small position anyway. Brembo here is another automotive, but let's get into some of the changes that we saw in this last quarter. I can only see here in the presentation, I found this, of the top 10 positions as of the 31st of March 2024, so not long ago at all. And we can see some of the changes here. The TAV Airports, which he held previously, that's up to the top now. Some of these could be because the positions changed just because of the market valuations have gone up or down, I would say. And Alpha Metallurgical Resources, 10.1. Anadolu 9.9, Coca-Cola Isaac is 7.7. That's the Coke bottler from Turkey. Now, Group 1 Automotive is the new one, and we're going to have a quick look at that because that is new at 4%, so not a huge conviction there. Of course, we can't see out of that top 20 if he's sold any. As I said, people in the fund probably know the positions where they are now. Number 6 here is a new one as well, Occidental Petroleum. We'll have a look at that. And that's one that Warren Buffett has been buying very heavily. Now, Monish Pabrai often says that he is a shameless cloner. So I wonder if he saw Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway buying it and really looked into that and decided to buy it. Wouldn't be surprised me. And Warren Buffett has been buying it fairly recently too. Next one, AutoNation, he already owned that. Consol Energy, already owned that. But number 9, Lithia Motors, another automotive, a new one. And he did say on that call, near the end of that call, that there was a basket of these automotive stocks, car dealers in the US, that he said if you bought them as a basket, he would see how that whole basket or some of those stocks in there would do really well. So that's pretty much what he's done. And number 10, Mongolian Mining Corp, Mongolia. So that's in China. So a Chinese stock, which is kind of surprising, but I think that would be another coal company at 3.9%. So quite a few stocks being bought there. Now, if you're getting value out of this Monish Pabrai episode so far, I'd really appreciate it if you manage to smash that like button to help the algorithm to spread it to more people, because that's what we want. Thanks. I wonder if he's kept the list right down to the bottom of what we saw there, except for Spirit Airlines. Now, down the bottom of here, if he still owns these small positions, he may own more than 20 companies, 20 stocks now. I don't know if he sold out of Tiny and Topicus in these some of these smaller positions. It would surprise me if he did, because these are sort of long-term compounders. That's the thesis of these companies, long-term compounders over time. They're just quite small companies. Well, Tiny is fairly tiny at the moment. Topicus is actually getting to a mid-cap range, but they're like Constellation Software in terms of the thesis that they'll compound over time, over a very long period of time. I'd be surprised if we sold those, but I'll find out in time. Now let's have a look at some of these companies that with changes in the portfolio only. As I said, I've already made a video about previous positions, link in the description to those previous videos about the Pabrai Wagons Fund. So Group 1 Automotive, and we can see that the market cap is $3.5 billion there for this. And let's have a look just at what it does is the main thing here that we want to look at. Group 1 Automotive operates in the automotive retail industry in the United States and the United Kingdom. The company sells new and used cars, light trucks and vehicle parts, as well as service and insurance contracts, arranges retail vehicle financing and offers automotive maintenance and repair services. So yes, pretty much an auto dealer there, incorporated in 1995 in Houston. That was ticker terminal. If we go to Guru Focus here, we can see just some of the metrics. I'm not going to go into depth at all here, but if we just glance at the metrics, we may get an idea of why he thinks it's worth buying here. And we can see here that the ROCE, return on capital employed, which is what a lot of value investors do look at in terms of capital allocation and reinvesting of capital, 18.99, which is above average. And we can see here that these, you know, returns on capital are in the green here, pretty high, pretty good. So I can see that would interest Pabrai a lot. And the margins there, I mean, the auto industry margins, really, if you look at that, just from what I know about the auto industry, we can see the P/E ratio down here, 6.24. So that's definitely in the range that Pabrai likes to see as a value investor. He's often said that he finds it hard to buy companies, buy stocks at a high P/E, even if they're growing strongly and all the right metrics. He's hardwired not to like high P/E stocks. And these are low, forward P/E 6.55. So that's why he's probably said in the call that he thinks that these will, as a basket, will do pretty well. I know he has owned companies in the auto industry before. The car makers, he said before, are not such a great investment. He said that repeatedly in recent videos, you know, but he said the auto dealers and other auto industry companies might be a good bet. Speaking of that, we can see his friend Guy Spear here. His portfolio, which has just come out recently for the last quarter, he's known for not selling very often, just for sitting on stocks. One of them is Ferrari, which Pabrai owned for a while and sold out. And he said he regretted selling it and Guy Spier has been holding on to it, but he sold 25% in the last quarter, so that's notable. I don't know why. We'll have to see if he says why he sold 25% of Ferrari, but I think he's done pretty well out of that company, out of that stock, after Pabre owned it. I think that Pabre owned it first, and Guy Spier did a shameless clone on that, or they worked on the thesis together, and he held it much longer, but now selling down. And the next one in the list is Occidental Petroleum, and that is a big company, of course, $86 billion company. Year to date, it's up 11%. Over the past year, it's up 8.9%. Here it is on Guru Focus. We can see there that there's a lot of green in there in terms of the metrics. Gross margin 35.78, operating margin 22.7. Warren Buffett has been buying heavy. I think I heard mentioned that they now own about 20% of Oxy, so they've been buying consistently. So as a shameless cloner, I think Monash Pabrai is probably, that's how he got into it. He saw that Berkshire was buying it quite a long time ago and had a good look at it, and he's been buying coal, of course, a related industry, traditional energy. So that's probably why he got into it, that Buffett bought it, and then he looked into it and found it. The PE ratio says 17 here, forward PE 16.92. Now, if we do look at the Berkshire Hathaway portfolio here, we can see that now Oxy is a big percentage of the portfolio at 4.05%. I'm going to say it's big, it's not huge, but if we look up here, it's because Apple is 47% of the portfolio, but the next one down, Bank of America, at over 9%, then it goes 7.6%, and then 6.5%, and then Chevron, also another oil company, at 5%, and Coca-Cola, known to be one of their biggest long-term positions, is 6.54%. So, you know, it's become nearly as big as that. So this is why Pabre, I think, has probably looked into it, because Buffett has been buying it recently, very recently. So this is the portfolio. We can see that Buffett, as late as Q4 2023, has been buying Occidental Petroleum there, adding 8.74%. But really, if we go back through the quarters, he's been buying it consistently in Q2 2023 and in Q1 2023. So really going back quite a long way, Q3 2022, just adding to it all the time. And so I think that's probably why Pabre got interested in Occidental Petroleum, I would say. Now, I said I'm not a holder of the Pabre Wagons Fund. I said I'm stupid enough to pick my own stocks. And if you want to see what those are, they're over at the Art of Value Patreon. I talk about my portfolio and the process of research. It's not investment advice at all. You've got to do your own work. And over there, I talk about how to do that, how I go about research, how I go about analyzing stocks. So if you want to see that and be involved in that, then I'll put a link in the description and see you over there. Now, if you're watching this on YouTube, I'm going to put two videos here, one of a previous episode I've done on the Pabre Wagons Fund before this that I mentioned in the episode, and also a video of what YouTube thinks that you in particular should watch next. So go and see either of those now if you want to. And thanks to everybody for watching or listening on whatever platform you're doing that. See you in the next one.